It is Tuesday, April 18th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence warns North Korea that all options are on the table. British Prime Minister Theresa May calls for early elections. And singer Drake releases a new recording that's shooting up the music charts. It's all ahead. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence delivered a similar message to Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe in Tokyo Tuesday that he did earlier in South Korea regarding the U.S. commitment in the face of a growing nuclear and missile threat from North Korea.
We appreciate the challenging times in which the people of Japan live, with increasing provocations from across the Sea of Japan. And as the president himself would say if he was here, let me be clear to you, Mr. Prime Minister, and to all the people of Japan, we are with you 100%. And the era of strategic patience is over. And while all options are on the table, President Trump is determined to work closely with Japan, with South Korea, with all our allies in the region, and with China to achieve a peaceable resolution and the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Mr. Abe called the Pence visit timely given the current situation with Pyongyang, which he described as more severe. He called for pressure to be exerted to get the North to engage in serious dialogue. Melissa Hannum, a senior research associate at the California-based Middlebury Institute of International Studies, tells International Edition's Victor Beatty Sunday's attempted launch and another 2 weeks earlier that landed in the Sea of Japan were fired from a launch pad at Sinpo in eastern North Korea.
Sinpo is known for its submarine shipyard and as the source of North Korea's SLBM, submarine launched ballistic missile program. But both missiles were launched from land. And so, there was some confusion about what kind of missile might have been launched from this location. About 2 weeks ago, there was a launch, and initially Pacific Command identified it as possibly a KN-15, and then later suggested instead that it was a kind of a Scud or Nodong object. Pacific Command initially gave the range and apogee of the launch, but the timing was such that it tracked the missile nine minutes before it landed. And so it kind of came into clear picture the following day when these government sources suggested that the missile was cartwheeling, so essentially spinning out of control head over tail. This most recent test is from the same location, but it failed almost immediately, so we don't really have a lot of information about whether it was the same missile or really anything at all about it. But given the location, it's likely that it is the same missile. And there's a few theories floating around about what kind of missile it is.
One of them is that it could have been a type of Scud called the KN-17 that you alluded to, and it's described as a single-stage liquid-fueled missile that could be used to target ships. Is that your understanding?
Yes, but my understanding is that, the Sinpo shipyard is a great location for building anti-ship ballistic missiles. And this is probably what they may be testing. Also, the timing is a little bit coincidental, but the USS Vinson has been approaching the area, and so it may also be tied to messaging around that as well.
Schilling said that the launch failure is indicative of a possible new systems test.
We've seen a few small anti-ship cruise missiles and things before. This would be a larger system if it's Scud-like. It's even possible, though not confirmed yet, that it was in the parade this past weekend.
That's Melissa Hannum of the Middlebury Institute of International Studies. She said that could explain the cartwheeling effect that caused the missile to fail on Sunday. And while she said U.S. hacking during the production phase of the missile may have caused the unsuccessful launch, The missile is relatively new and untested. Well, joining me on the line is social media editor Doug Bernard. So, Doug, what's trending?
Well, I don't have necessarily a whole lot for you today, but I do have a continuation of the story that we spoke of yesterday, kind of a coda, I guess, to that story. So in brief, just to remind listeners, on Sunday in Cleveland, a 37-year-old named Steve Steffens randomly selected a elderly man who just was walking on the street. That would be Robert Godwin Sr., 74 years old, and just randomly shot him and taped it and put it up on Facebook, and then really created like a 36-hour, almost nationwide manhunt. I mean, it began in Ohio and spread. And yesterday we were talking about how people were tweeting out or using social media, well, I've seen him here, I've seen him there. And every time the police would see one of those reports, they would have to go investigate it. But that really didn't turn up anything. And so they were really advising people, if you see something, call us. Don't put it out on social media. Well, Mr. Steffens was found in Erie County in Pennsylvania, maybe just about 150, 200 miles from Cleveland. Police officers gave chase. He eluded them for a while, but he eventually shot himself, taking his own life. Now, the interesting part is that people began asking, well, did social media have any role to play in tracking him down? This is a case where no, actually. This really was old-fashioned police work, tracking money withdrawals, tracking, you know, license plates as they're going through intersections and that kind of thing. So anyway, just the end to that story, it really held people in grips for a long time. People still talking about it.
Yeah.
I should say it held them in the grip for a short time.
Yes. Certainly, Doug. I mean, did he give any indication as to the motive, why he did such a horrific act?
When he approached Mr. Godwin, he said, say the name Joy Lane. And Joy Lane was apparently his girlfriend for some years. They had been having an on-and-off relationship. They had been slated to get married. They did not get married. He'd been having personal problems of his own. She has only said... she issued a public statement basically saying, this is a tragedy, you know, my heart breaks for the families, but, you know, I have no idea what happened here. So it sounds like a tormented individual who, to use his words in the video that he posted, quote, I just snapped.
Mm. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Doug. That's social media editor Doug Bernard.
You bet.
Here are some of the top news stories trending. A new report says the spike in the U.S. murder rate is caused mostly by three large cities. Tibetan townspeople have been summoned to meetings after another self-immolation. President Trump is awaiting the outcome of a special congressional election, and mummies and statues are part of a major new find near Luxor in Egypt. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOANews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A billion-dollar industry has grown from a theory that a person's intelligence can be increased or at least maintained by exercising the brain with a series of games. The number of books and websites that offer this cognitive learning has dramatically increased over the past decade. A new study from researchers at Florida State University tested the theory that these brain training games can help a person sustain cognitive function, especially as they age. Study co-author Walter Boot says the group's findings and previous studies provide little evidence that brain training games can actually improve someone's life in a meaningful way. The study's lead author, Neil Charnas, notes that other research suggests aerobic exercise, more so than mental exercises, is great for the brain. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, a report on President Trump's approval ratings. British Prime Minister Theresa May announced Tuesday she will seek an early election on June 8th. I spoke with VOA London correspondent Luis Ramirez and asked him if this decision came as a surprise.
The short answer to that is yes, very much so, because May had said that she would not call for early elections. Those would not be due until the year 2020. They're held every 5 years. This is a surprise because, no one thought that it was even an option. Perhaps most surprised is the Labour Party, which is at an unusually weak point. It's suffered its biggest electoral losses in a century last year, and so Mrs. May is pretty confident that she and her Conservatives will come out on top. So this appears to be a very calculated move on her part.
Does this have anything to do with Brexit?
It has everything to do with Brexit. What the explanation that Mrs. May gave for calling the snap election is that she wants the country to remain secure and stable at a very crucial time. Just last month, Britain triggered Article 50 that started the Brexit process. That's pretty much the point of no return, at which Britain begins a 2-year negotiating period to get out of the European Union. It's at this time that she believes that any government that's in place has to have a very strong mandate. Now, with both sides, the Remainers and the Leavers fighting, and the Remainers still threatening to derail the process, or at least put obstacles in its way, May thought that it would be necessary to consolidate power, and this is what appears to be the intention.
What kind of reaction has there been from the British opposition parties, particularly the largest one, the Labour Party?
Well, Jeremy Corbyn, the leader of the Labour Party, reacted very quickly, said he welcomes the challenge. He welcomes the chance to take on the Conservatives in June. Now, whether he is in fact able to remains a big question because, well, the Labour Party suffered its biggest electoral losses in the century last year. It is, according to many analysts in Britain, at its weakest point, pretty much in disarray. So very few people are placing bets on whether they will be able to band together to oppose Brexit, which is the challenge that Theresa May is posing. She said, if you really mean it, this is your chance to show it and to show that you're not opposing Brexit just to oppose the government for opposition's sake.
And what kind of reaction has there been from the Scottish National Party?
They reacted very quickly as well, saying that this strengthens their resolve to seek another second independence referendum. The first one failed. Now, with Scotland having voted overwhelmingly to stay in the European Union, it certainly raises the possibility again of a Scottish independence vote.
All right. Thanks a lot, Luis.
Thank you, Sarah.
That's VOA correspondent Luis Ramirez in London. President Donald Trump is fast closing in on his first 100 days in office, and his public approval rating continues to hover around 40%, still a low mark for a new president. Trump's rating on foreign policy has improved slightly in the wake of recent U.S. military strikes in Syria and Afghanistan, but the president's domestic agenda seems stuck in neutral. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
After a rough few months on the domestic front, President Trump has increasingly turned his attention to foreign policy concerns, including North Korea's missile program and the recent military strikes in Syria and Afghanistan.
Right now, the world is a mess, but I think by the time we finish, I think it's going to be a lot better place to live. And I can tell you that, speaking for myself, by the time I'm finished, it's going to be a lot better place to live in, because right now it's nasty.
The flexing of U.S. military might was welcomed by Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell.
An interesting message to a lot of our adversaries around the world and our allies around the world that this administration is going to be more assertive than the previous one.
But Trump standing at home is more complicated. Protesters have been out in force to demand the president release his tax returns. There was a clash in California between anti-Trump and pro-Trump demonstrators. Trump's efforts on health care and other domestic priorities remain stalled, frozen by polarized politics, says Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
He'll have trouble constantly unless he moves to the middle. We're waiting for him to do it.
From the beginning of his presidency, Trump has struggled to broaden his base of support, says analyst Sarah Binder.
Starting with historically low approval ratings, right, and even those approval ratings remain reasonably high with Republicans, but even those numbers have come down a bit. So it's very hard going forward to build big coalitions in American politics from a very narrow base.
Trump's best hope for progress on domestic issues may be to enlist support from Democrats, even if it risks angering Republicans, says William Galston.
If the administration really wants to move in that direction, they ought to initiate discussions with Democrats on issues such as tax reform and infrastructure right away, in my judgment.
Less than 100 days into his presidency, Trump is now trying to balance the pressing needs of his domestic agenda amid the backdrop of an uncertain and ever-changing world. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong.
You love music?
How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA 1, the voice of America.
Today, it's Drake.
Oh, good.
Whose real name is Aubrey Graham. I know you're a fan. You're wearing your I Love Drake t-shirt right now. Now, he was 2016's biggest story, and it looks like he remains one of the big stories here in 2017 as well. He's put out a brand new album, hot on the heels of Views from the Six, which gave us one of your favorite songs, Hotline Bling. And the new album, which is called More Life, came out and debuted at number one. It's just kind of been gangbusters. It sold over 500,000 copies its first week out. He doesn't call it a CD or an album. He calls it a playlist project.
Oh.
He's got a special name for it. Whatever you call it, it has reached the 1 billion stream mark, which is absolutely huge in such a short amount of time. It had been number one for 3 weeks. It was just replaced at the top of the album charts by the new debut album from Chainsmokers called Memories Do Not Open. But it's still up there at the top, and he's only released one song off the new album, which is what we're going to listen to today. So without any further delay, here's Passion Fruit. This is Drake.
Listen, seeing you got ritualistic. Cleansing my soul of addiction for now, cause I'm falling apart.
So is it known, Larry, yet about the other songs on this project?
Well, you know, the other songs promise to be just as good as the debut track, Passion Fruit, which we just heard. More Life is kind of, it was a surprise to everyone who's a fan because his album Views from the Six is still going strong and still selling well and remains on the charts. Not only Hotline Bling, you know, there's been just so many songs, Fake Love and all the other songs that he put out off of the album that did so well. And so he's getting ready to tour again. He just came off a UK tour. And he's back at home in the United States now, so he's amping up for another U.S. tour. He did go to the Coachella Valley Music Festival last weekend, and apparently he did not have a good time. He posted on Instagram that he was very disappointed and upset, as a matter of fact, with his accommodations. He stayed at a country club in Coachella Valley in the desert in California, and he said he was the victim of racial profiling. So I'm sure we're going to hear more about that situation and the problems there. It also came out in the news within the last day or so that his house was burglarized. He's got a $7 million mansion in California. somebody broke in. They told the security people, this woman, as a matter of fact, they know who it is. It's a woman. And she said, no, he knows I'm here. He knows I'm coming in. She came in and could have stole anything she wanted to steal. What did she steal? She stole $10 worth of mineral water.
Oh,
she
no.
went to his refrigerator, took out some mineral water, and promptly left. So, very interesting.
Maybe she's an obsessed fan.
Yeah, I'm sure that has something to do with it. She wanted to have Drake's mineral water. But nonetheless, you know, he's a very popular artist these days. And say what you will, there have been those that have criticized his style of music. Certainly a lot in the hip-hop world have commented on his dancing or lack thereof. And made fun of him for that. But nonetheless, he dated Rihanna for a little while. They attended a birthday party together a couple of weekends ago. At least they were at the same party. And it was a very awkward situation. And they got it on videotape. The two of them were there at poolside while the children were having their party. He ignored her. She ignored him.
Oh,
they kind of went in their own directions around the side of the swimming pool. And so, you know, he'll be out on tour, I'm sure, here in the U.S. very shortly. He's also going to be appearing in a television show in the UK. He got his start in Canada on a show called Degrassi, but he's perhaps going back to a TV show. I don't know if it's a one-off or if it's going to be a regular thing for him in the UK. So that's what's going on with Drake. He's got a new album out, and that album's called More Life, and the new track, Passion Fruit, is doing quite well.
Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossing.
Passionate from miles away, passive with the things you say, passing up on my always, I can't blame you, no. No.
The music of Drake, that's our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, announced this month a new grant to support the work of the National Election Committee, or NEC, to administer Cambodia's 2017 and 2018 elections. The two-year, $1.8 million Cambodia Election Management Project, awarded to the International Foundation for Electoral Systems, will help the NEC implement voter education campaigns, strengthen its election dispute resolution processes, and enhance its ability to identify and mitigate weaknesses in the country's electoral system. This program follows previous USAID support for the National Election Committee, which included an internal capacity assessment, training on election administration, and assistance to produce a set of public service announcements about voter registration. The new grant will help ensure the NEC follows through on its commitment to effectively administer elections and advance meaningful electoral reform through the commune elections in 2017 and national elections in 2018. USAID was founded in 1961 by President John F. Kennedy and serves as the lead agency of the U.S. government for foreign assistance. Since 1992, USAID has invested approximately $1 billion towards Cambodia's development. The International Foundation for Electoral Systems supports citizens' rights to participate in free and fair elections. Its independent expertise strengthens electoral systems and builds local capacity to deliver sustainable solutions. Since 1987, the International Foundation for Electoral Systems has worked in over 145 countries, from developing democracies to mature democracies. Electoral participation is the foundation of a healthy democracy, said U.S. Ambassador to Cambodia William Haidt. We look forward to working with the National Election Committee, civil society, and political parties to continue to strengthen democracy in Cambodia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, www.voanews.com/editorials.